At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
The disrespect in the Big 12 Conference is real, and I'll explain why. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12. We are glad that you are here, as always, as a part of the show. Welcome in. We've got most of the Big 12 bowl games in the books, still a couple to go, and as you guys roll in, we appreciate that. Let us know where you're watching from. We'll give you guys shout-outs, the big towns, the small towns, all over the heartland of the country. But just know this much. With the majority of the bowl games in the books, six of the eight are done, you cannot deny that anti-Big 12 bias is real at ESPN. Watching these games, listening to the announcers, looking at the coverage, it is indisputable. And if you're just rolling in and you're new to the show, make sure you're subscribed. Doesn't cost you anything. Helps us keep growing. We appreciate you doing that. On YouTube, on the podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you are getting your podcasts. Okay, so with that, the one that really stood out to me was the way that BYU was disrespected against Colorado. Now, I will fall on the sword here, first off, and admit that I picked Colorado to beat BYU and cover the spread. I thought Colorado had figured out its offensive line issues. Obviously, that was not the case. And this is one of those classic hindsight 2020 motivation games, right? BYU had so many reasons to have multiple chips on its shoulder. One, everyone's talking about Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders. Oh, they're playing. Oh my gosh, it's going to be amazing. Oh, this is incredible. Oh, Coach Prime. Oh, Deion. And BYU's just sitting there going, you know, we were 10-2. We did technically have a better record than them. We did tie them in the Big 12, and we're going to show them what this is all about, what this BYU team is all about. Also, what happened here is BYU had another reason to be disrespected, and that was the fact that they were never in the conversation for the college football playoff, despite having a 2-loss, 10-2 record, of course, and a win over SMU, an SMU team that made the college football playoff and then got blown out of Penn State. BYU never even got in the conversation. I'm not saying they were a top 12 team in the country, although they played like in the Alamo Bowl. I'm not saying they should have been in the college football playoff necessarily. What I am saying is that their win over SMU meant nothing when it should have meant something. And this never got brought up by the powers that be, largely speaking, at ESPN. On these conversations after the committee rankings came out, they totally ignored it. They totally blew it off. And BYU took out all those weeks of frustration out in the Alamo Dome on Saturday night against Colorado. And they played some of the best football I've seen any team in the Big 12 play all season. They were dominant from start to finish. The defense was beyond nasty. Shedeur Sanders could not do anything, because he was always looking at a BYU defender in his face, threw a couple of picks. Colorado rushed for 2 yards. Now, of course, in college football, how they do this is they count sack yards against your team rushing, which they don't do in the NFL. So outside of the minus 34 yards for Shedeur Sanders, they only had 36 rushing yards on the night. They only had like 10 carries on the night, so still not a good game. BYU just let it rip. LJ Martin had a couple of scores in the big night. They rushed for 180. Jake Retzlaff threw for 151. He wasn't great, but certainly it was all about the ground game. They were much better in the trenches, and they just looked like they were on a different level, especially with the way that defense was playing. And then you look at some of their reaction, okay? I mean, first off, SportsCenter showed a highlight from the game last night. It was a Shirley to Travis Hunter touchdown to put Colorado on the board that made it 27-7 in the third quarter. They hadn't posted a highlight from the other team, BYU, which had a punt return touchdown. Yet SportsCenter's official X account is posting all caps, Shadur to Travis for a touchdown, puts Colorado on the board. Yeah, they're down still by 3 scores. Way to go, ESPN. Way to go, SportsCenter. Let's look at the ESPN homepage last night. You know, let's see what they say about the big BYU win. Nothing. Instead, the only headline from the game is Hunter, Shadur, and, quote, great run at CU despite loss. Nothing whatsoever. Dave Pasch was on the broadcast for ESPN, and he even said during the broadcast that one of BYU's players walked out of the meeting and said, talk about BYU a little bit, would you? And then Dave Pasch goes, yeah, we're talking about you now. We're talking about BYU now. I'm sure the fans in Provo would love for us to talk about BYU the whole night. He said it somewhat sarcastically. It was so disrespectful. BYU had a top 20 team this season. And listen, these are both Big 12 teams, right? So let's be very clear. You've got two Big 12 teams here. I have been very favorable to Colorado. I thought they'd win the game. I thought they'd cover the spread. But it feels like the only thing that, and the only time that ESPN cares about the Big 12 is when it's Deion, Coach Prime, of course, the same person, Shadur Sanders, or Travis Hunter. And I'm cool with them showing those guys love. Coach Prime has been great, obviously, in year two at Colorado. They exceeded expectations. Travis won the Heisman. Shadur's going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft, whether you like it or not. But it hasn't been about the conference as a whole. It hasn't even really been about the teams. It's just been about the superstars. Where when they talk about the SEC, it's about the teams. It's about the brands. And I know the brands are bigger in the SEC. I understand that to some degree. But my gosh, the only time the Big 12 gets love is individuals. And it happens to be the individuals at Colorado. Everybody else is getting disrespected. Same thing happened in the Iowa State game. Okay, so let's talk about Iowa State coming back and beating Miami on a wild 42-41 game. So this game, first off, I'll say this much, just from the standpoint of defense, it was embarrassing to start the game. 8 straight touchdown drives between both teams. Every drive other than one was over 65 yards. I mean, just really pathetic. It settled down, of course, as the game went on. And Cam Ward pulled himself out of the game at halftime, the quarterback for Miami. I know that some people, even Matt Campbell, and listen, Matt Campbell's not going to knock a young man, but they all took the approach of, well, you know, he played a half, and I'm sure this was pre-planned and the whole thing. Dude, either play or don't. You got a chance to lead your team down the field on a game-winning drive, and I know everyone's going to scream, well, if he gets hurt there, what's going to happen? Then don't play the game. He played the game to break the record for NCAA touchdown passes, Division I. That's why he played. So if you're motivated by personal achievements over team awards and team wins, what's that say about you? But that's mostly a sidebar story here. Iowa State ends up beating Miami 42-41. Of course, they have this great drive. Took 5.5 minutes off the clock. 85 yards, whatever it was, 13, 14 plays. And Rocco Beck, on a 4th and goal from the 1-yard line, punches it in behind the right guard and scores the what tied the game, and then the extra point put them ahead and won them the game 42-41. But even during that broadcast, it was amazing. There was one, I guess, graphic that came up. And the graphic was showing the history of Iowa State football compared to Miami football. And it's like, you know, Iowa State, no national championships, Miami 5, and first round NFL draft picks, Miami dozens, Iowa State 2. And I'm looking at that chart and I'm like, what's that have to do with today? Somebody explain to me how that is relevant to this game today. when over the last half decade, you can easily make the case that Iowa State's been the better football program than Miami. Right? I mean, is that unreasonable? Is that like a hot take? I don't think it is. I don't think you should view it as a hot take yourself. Over the last half decade, which program has been better? Which program has been more consistent? Mayor Cristobal appears to be turning things around, but Iowa State, when you look at it season by season, has more wins, has had more success since Matt Campbell got there than when you look at what Miami's done the last few years. I mean, Matt Campbell, let's look at the Matt Campbell tenure here. 3-9, 8-5, 8-5, 7-6, 9-3, 7-6, 4-8, 7-6, and now 11-3. Look at Miami the last few years. Let's go back to that 2016 season when Campbell took over. Here we go. 9-4, 10-3, 7-6, 6-7, 8-3, 7-5, 5-7, 7-6, 10-3. So certainly the last half decade, Iowa State's got the edge. Go back a decade now, and Mark Richt had a couple of good years, of course, to start his tenure, so they probably have the edge all in all. But either way, you're talking about Iowa State and Miami, like they're two programs from two different planets, and it's like FCS versus high-end Power Four, the way they talked about it with that graphic during the game. And it's totally irrelevant to what you're watching in that moment. What you're watching in Iowa State is one of the more consistent programs and steady programs in college football right now, with a coach who appears to be more than willing to spend his entire career there, which you can't say for most of these coaches anymore, and who's building a program the old school way through high school recruiting, player development, and player retention. There's a novel concept. It was another sign that you've got to like just really see it to believe it and understand what appears to be the underlying disrespect towards the Big 12. And then, of course, the Big 12 team goes out there and wins the game. So go figure. Right? I mean, that's what ended up happening. And, of course, they'll say, well, Cam Ward didn't play. Not sure it would have mattered, but you know what? Here we go. That's what it's all about. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Thank you guys for being here as a part of the show. And Matt Campbell gave one of the great quotes. I think it's the best quote of the year in college football. And we wrote about it. If you didn't see it, it's up on our X page at Heartland_CS. You can see it there. The quote from Matt Campbell to ESPN after the win was, "Hard to find teams still in college football, but we still got one in Ames, Iowa." What does he mean by that? What he means by that is, we're not just a collection of one-year guys. He wasn't taking a shot at anybody. He was more taking a shot at the state of college football. But what Matt Campbell signaled in that quote is that he will continue to do it his way. Now, I know guys like Dabo Swinney and Mike Gundy have been criticized for that. But what Matt Campbell is saying is, I can develop programs still and then use the transfer portal as I need to. That's what he can do. And that's what he's going to do. Right now, Iowa State only has 5 recruits committed in the transfer portal. That's tied for the fewest in the Big 12 with BYU and West Virginia. That's probably going to stay that way. I imagine the Cyclones are going to end up at the bottom of the Big 12 in terms of just number of transfer portal commits, because that's not how Matt Campbell wants to do it. Now, you have to have the money to retain the players if they start playing really well. Rocco Beck's coming back. You can't be super cheap. You just got to be fair. And if Campbell can ride this line of recruiting guys, 2-3 4-star guys, the occasional 4-star guy, getting them in there, developing them, and then incentivizing them to stay, that is going to be a program that can win consistently in the Big 12 and at the highest levels of college football. Maybe not annually, but certainly every couple of years, no doubt about it. And I thought it was an outstanding quote. You can also find it on our Instagram page. Just search our at Heartland College Sports, and you can find it there. Thank you guys for tuning in this afternoon as we get it rolling here and keep it rolling on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. If you haven't yet, hit that thumbs up on the video if you're on YouTube, and leave that 5-star rating and review on the podcast. Literally takes you one click, and it makes a huge difference as this show continues to grow. So thank you guys for being a part of it.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TCU manhandles Louisiana 34-3 on Saturday. And in that game, it was like, okay, that game I'm watching and I'm like, if TCU can find a running game next year, they're going to be a team that should get talked about with Josh Hoover at quarterback as one of the teams to compete atop the Big 12. They look like they've turned it around under Sonny Dykes. They had that rough stretch where they lost to SMU, they lost to UCF, but they were one of the hottest teams of the Big 12. No one really was talking about the second half of the season because there was Colorado, Kansas got on a heater, Baylor was playing great football, but TCU was right there with them. They just had that late loss to Baylor, which could have gone either way. But TCU dismantled Louisiana. I still want to see more on defense, generally speaking, next season. Running game, they got to find ideally somebody in the portal or just work on the run blocking scheme as well because they struggled running the ball all year. But the passing attack has been fantastic under Kendall Briles, who suddenly isn't getting nearly as much heat as he was back in September. And they have a lot of excitement going into the offseason after a win like that. Now, teams that will have a lot of excitement, but did not have a lot of excitement coming out of their bowl game, Texas Tech. What a dud. What an absolute stinker for Texas Tech against Arkansas in their Liberty Bowl game on Friday night. My gosh. Now, once Taj Brooks was out, I was like, man, this game gets harder. But when you're down your QB1, your RB1, defensive back 1 was out, you're out your coordinators, maybe that's one of those games that we should have seen coming. But I still thought that Texas Tech was well poised because Arkansas was so depleted in the trenches to get a win. Instead, I mean, they threw up an all-time stinker. Now, Tech will have plenty of excitement, of course, going into the offseason because they're at the top of the transfer portal standings. They're throwing out money left and right. They've got some of the best players in the country in the portal coming into Lubbock next year. But let's be honest, that sours what has been a very exciting few weeks in Lubbock. It's not the end-all, be-all. doesn't change anything. But also, I'll tell you what, a lot of hype around Will Hammond, freshman quarterback, who a lot of Tech fans were like, this guy's better than Baron Morton. You can't come out of that game feeling like Will Hammond is better than Baron Morton. Now, freshman, he's going to develop. He's going to get better. He might end up being better than Baron Morton, but there's nothing from that game. He was missing guys by 10 feet over their heads on out routes. The play calling was weird. I know Kittley's not there, but, you know, they're doing fade routes to the corner of the end zone on a third and goal from the five-yard line with a quarterback who can't hit the broadside of a barn. I was like, what are we doing here? What's going on? What am I watching? These are low percentage throws from a guy who has not shown a whole lot of accuracy throughout the night. And the defense stunk to holy heaven. Oh my gosh, that secondary was getting torched. It's why I was concerned about him coming into the game. And some of you left a note on the YouTube page and you were like, hey, Tech secondary is going to be fine. Just you watch. Well, they were far from fine. They were embarrassing. Embarrassing. So that was a tough, that one. Of all the Big 12 bowl losses thus far, that one hurts the most. Not even close. K-State comes back this past week to beat Rutgers 44-41. Of course, a big second half surge from the Wildcats. And it's funny how these bowl games can get you excited for the offseason. Because if you're a K-State fan at halftime, you're like, oh my gosh. And then by the end of the game, you're like, we got it. We got Avery back. He's developing. He's getting better. Dylan Edwards sets a K-State bowl rushing record with 196 yards. Throw in Joe Jackson, and we're rocking and rolling into 2025. Now, to me, that would have been the case no matter what, right? But when you win a game in that fashion, you've got to be excited about it if you're a K-State fan. Listen, I think some of the criticism of Avery Johnson has been fair. But I think we have to remember it's the first year for the guy starting. Like, let's pump the brakes here and remember that this is a guy who is in his first year as a starting quarterback. Okay? And if you go back through Kansas State football recent history, whether it's Will Howard, Skylar Thompson, are the most recent guys that come to mind. You know, some of the names like Alex Delton that many of you are going to remember. You can go back to Colin Klein. But first year as a starter, let's let this guy develop. Yes, he made some boneheaded first year starter mistakes, but my gosh, there's a lot to like there. There were moments when he did appear to regress throughout the season, but there's also a lot of reason to believe that with the right offseason preparation, tutelage, coaching, body development, he's put on, what, 20 pounds since he got to campus? Like, this guy can win you a Big 12 championship. There's no doubt about it. And Dylan Edwards combined with Joe Jackson, that is a great 1-2 punch. I'm not saying you never miss a guy like DJ Giddens, but it certainly gets you trending in the right direction if you're a K-State fan, replacing that rushing attack going into 2025. That is indisputable. So a lot of good stuff coming out of that game for Kansas State. They beat Rutgers. They do not cover the spread. Our picks against the spread are 3-3 so far. So overall, you know, I wish I was 4-2 right now, but with two games left, my picks are 3-3 against the spread. I hit on Memphis covering against West Virginia. I hit on Rutgers covering against Kansas State. I missed on Texas Tech and Arkansas. I thought Tech would beat the spread there as the favorite. I missed on Iowa State, Miami. I was close, but Rocco Beck proved me wrong. I picked Miami minus the 4.5. That one came down to the wire. I was wrong on BYU, Colorado by a mile. Picked Colorado to cover. And I was right on TCU covering against Louisiana. So 3-3 thus far. There are two Big 12 games left. Baylor against LSU in the Texas Bowl. And then, of course, we've got Arizona State and Texas in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, which is a college football playoff quarterfinal game. So, to me, for the Big 12 to have a successful bowl season, they've got to at least split those two games. If they lose both of them, it's fair to say that the Big 12 bowl season was a disappointment. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. We appreciate you guys being here as a part of the show, as always. I struggle with the idea of Baylor losing as a favorite to LSU, and then if Arizona State loses to Texas, the spread is 2 touchdowns. If they lose by the predicted spread, that would end up being a bad bowl season for the Big 12. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If Baylor wins and then Arizona State loses to Texas, well, that's what was expected. Texas may be the best team in the country. So no one's going to take anything away from Arizona State in this situation if they lose as a 12.5, 13-point dog against the Longhorns, who are going back to Atlanta where they were a couple of weeks ago for the SEC championship game. They know that place inside out. So they've got a lot stacked in their favor. The only thing Arizona State has stacked in its favor is rest. They didn't have to play a first-round game. But I'm not sure how much the rest factor really matters, because even Texas has only played a single game basically in the last month, and that's the quarterfinal game. So it's not like the NFL where you're like, oh, short week or less rest. I don't think it really matters in this situation going into this game. But Baylor's got to beat LSU, because then you can look at the Big 12 bowl season and you can say, okay, the Big 12 went 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, and you can't really count BYU-Colorado, so I'm excluding that game. So you'd say, okay, this team is 3-2, or this conference is 3-2 in bowl games. You get to 4-2 if Baylor wins, and then Arizona State playing with house money. If they lose, you're 4-3. That's a good bowl season all in all. But if Baylor loses and then Arizona State suffers the kind of loss that people are predicting, then you got to look at it fairly and say, yeah, this bowl season came up short for the Big 12. But of course, Arizona State can pull off the upset. I will give you a prediction and preview this week here on the show. It's why you want to be subscribed to the channel on YouTube. And of course, on the podcast, we'll give you a full breakdown, preview, and prediction of that game coming up this week here on the Heartland College Sports YouTube channel and on the podcast. So I will get you all that as well. I want to now bring up and ask you guys what you think about this. Are you warming up to UConn in the Big 12? I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Thanks for being here as a part of the show. And we hope that you'll subscribe. I bring this up because UConn took care of North Carolina 27-14 in the Fenway Bowl on Saturday. And UConn, for all the criticism, for all the questions, for all the issues around this team and whether or not they should be invited eventually to the Big 12, and we know that Brett Yormark wants to put them in the Big 12, I always wondered about the football. But I watched them beat UNC in the Fenway Bowl on Saturday, and I thought to myself, here's a UConn team that went 9-4. And then I started digging into the numbers a little bit. And I dug into the numbers and I thought, well, UConn hadn't won 9 games since 2007 under Randy Etzel, when they won the Meineke Car Care Bowl. Or they lost it, actually, against Wake Forest, 24-10. And UConn finished that season tied for first in the Big East Conference. Now they're independent, and they didn't technically beat a Power Four school until the bowl game on Saturday. But when you dig into the numbers, outside of a blowout loss to Maryland in week 2, 50-7, UConn was competitive. They lost to Duke by 5, 3 points to Wake Forest, and a 7-point loss to Syracuse. Yes, a Syracuse team that knocked off number 6 Miami in the final week of the regular season, with the Hurricanes still hoping to make the college football playoff. And frankly, the question around UConn doesn't need to be whether or not UConn football can win the Big 12. The question should be whether or not UConn football can just be competitive enough in the Big 12 on the football field to justify adding them as a basketball program. That's it. They just can't be what KU was pre-Lance Leipold. That's it. They can't be that awful at football. They don't have to be good. They can be a team that goes 4-8 in football every year. Maybe, you know, you pop to 5-7. Maybe you're bowl eligible once every 4 or 5 years. You're competitive enough. But the basketball makes it worth it. That's the question that Big 12 athletic directors and university presidents need to be thinking about when it comes to this conference and whether or not expansion with UConn makes sense. Your Mark wants to do it. There's no doubt in my mind he wants to do it. The question is largely, mostly about whether or not university presidents and athletic directors can get over the UConn football aroma that is out there. Because it's not a good aroma. It's an aroma that you would find somewhere in the Texas panhandle when you drive by, you know, a cattle yard or something like that. But then when you actually look at where they're at, and also the, I guess we'll call it, trust but verify approach that UConn would have to give the Big 12 in saying, we will invest in football if we get into the Big 12 and start getting some Big 12 money to at least be competitive. And then also have that brand in for basketball, which gets you into the number one media market in New York City. And also, in a zero-sum game that is conference expansion, keeps UConn out of the ACC. There is a battle behind the scenes for the number three conference in America. It's quietly happening. We know the SEC and the Big Ten are where they are. You can't deny that. Who's number three? Both the Big 12 and the ACC can make that case. And if you bring UConn to the Big 12, you keep them out of the ACC. And the ACC, if they can figure out all their legal troubles and infighting, adding UConn would, I believe, make them a potentially more appealing conference than the Big 12 from a basketball perspective. They would have Syracuse, and I know Syracuse has been down, but I'm just talking from a brand old Big East perspective. Syracuse, Notre Dame, UConn, Boston College, all former Big East teams, right? With great alumni bases in the New York City market. Duke, North Carolina, Louisville. Those could rival the Big 12 from a quality and basketball brand perspective. And if the race is on, the Big 12 and its decision makers would be wise to look at the potential addition of UConn as part of the arms race that college sports has become. And take that trust but verify approach that the Huskies will do what they have to do to stay competitive or be competitive in football while understanding the value of UConn is not about the gridiron, but rather the hardwood and also playing defense against the ACC. That needs to be where the conversation goes. When we think about what makes sense for the Big 12 and the future of this conference going forward. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Thank you guys for being here on the show. We appreciate you guys being a part of it, as always. I'm looking at some of your comments here and seeing what you guys think of all this. Oh, gosh. I get it. It's controversial. Some of you love it. Some of you hate it. It's going to be one of those things that continues to be discussed in the weeks and months ahead. I'm just putting the conversation and laying the foundation for you out there as we go into a post-football environment. But we'll have plenty of basketball for you as well. Conference play gets going this week. So once we turn the page from football, there will be a lot of basketball to discuss, of course, in the Big 12. That's why you want to make sure you are subscribed to the channel here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Go Big 12.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.